Imagine a paradise that's actually a prison, a lush greenhouse filled with vibrant flowers and butterflies, where beauty masks unspeakable horror. This is the reality of The Butterfly Garden, a psychological thriller that transforms the traditionally beautiful symbol of butterflies into something sinister. At the center of this nightmare is a young woman initially known as Maya, whose unusual composure during FBI interrogation stands in stark contrast to her traumatic experience. Unlike other deeply traumatized victims rescued from captivity, she maintains an almost unsettling calm, carefully measuring each response like a chess player anticipating moves. The other survivors defer to her with an almost religious reverence, refusing to share details without her subtle nod of approval. Special Agent Victor Hanoverian and his partner navigate what proves to be one of the most challenging interrogations of their careers. Maya speaks with calculated precision, needling Edison about his Redskins shirt with the casual disdain of someone far more powerful than her current position suggests. Her insistence on referring to her captor as the Gardener establishes a psychological framework that shapes the entire investigation. The interview scenes crackle with tension as Maya orchestrates a delicate dance of revelation and concealment. Victor recognizes her protective patterns and makes the crucial decision to let her set the pace, understanding that conventional techniques might cause her to retreat entirely. As the investigation deepens, a horrific tableau emerges. The Gardener's operation proves extensive. Dozens of young women systematically abducted, each marked with intricate butterfly wing tattoos, imprisoned within an enormous greenhouse. Those who failed to meet their captor standards faced a gruesome fate, killed, preserved, and displayed in glass cases, transformed into permanent specimens in his macabre collection of human butterflies. Before becoming Maya, the protagonist shared an apartment with seven women who worked at a restaurant. Despite cramped quarters, they built a support system, sharing meals, forming study groups, celebrating victories, and comforting each other. On rare nights off, they gathered with cheap wine, sharing dreams of better futures. Maya's responses about her origins reveal inconsistencies. Her speech lacks regional markers, though Victor detects New York City influences. She explains how captivity taught her to compartmentalize, sometimes finding it easier to disconnect from her former identity. Throughout interviews, Maya's facade occasionally cracks, revealing tender memories of Sophia rushing to school performances, 11-year-old Jilly helping her shy sister, and quiet evenings helping with homework, moments revealing her deepest yearnings for connection. After the garden's destruction, survivors face complex healing journeys. Victor takes Maya, now revealed as Samira, to see Desmond, who survived but faces legal consequences. "He should have died brave, but he'll live a coward," Samira tells him. Survivors process trauma differently, but slowly begin forming support networks and reclaiming their autonomy. Maya awakens in a softly lit room with Leonette tending to her, maternal yet clinical, her black dress revealing a butterfly tattoo that foreshadows Maya's fate. The garden is a calculated masterpiece, an enormous climate-controlled atrium where tropical flowers bloom and butterflies drift freely. Glass walls create an illusion of openness, while tall black barriers prevent escape. The gardener, cultured and refined, reveals his intention to tattoo butterfly wings across Maya's back, stating simply, "A garden must have its butterflies." The tattooing process becomes 2 weeks of torture. Maya endures with strategic compliance, recognizing survival requires patience rather than resistance. Upon completion, the gardener declares her exquisite before naming her Maya, followed by sexual assault and his chilling declaration, "You are Maya now, mine." Life for the 2025 Captive Girls follows a rigid schedule. Silent breakfast at 7:30, free time, which is anything but free, lunch at noon, more monitored hours, and dinner at 8 o'clock. The gardener methodically visits at least one girl daily. His son Avery poses an even greater threat. After brutally attacking Maya, his visits were restricted to weekly supervised encounters that still terrify the girls. Within this nightmare, the butterflies have formed their own underground society. Maya serves as their unofficial counselor in a waterfall cave where rushing water shields them from surveillance. Her improvised therapy adapts to each girl's unique needs. Each develops distinct coping mechanisms. Nazira obsessively draws her past life. Zara maintains a harsh exterior. Glennis runs compulsively. Ravenna loses herself in dance. Haley styles everyone's hair. And, most disturbingly, Servat catalogs methods of death. The gardener masks his predatory nature with sophistication, impeccably tailored suits, and deliberate speech that present him as curator rather than monster. His origin story reveals childhood trauma, a destroyed butterfly collection that transformed into deadly obsession. His relationship with his sons demonstrates evil's generational transmission. Avery, the elder, embodies unbridled cruelty, methodically burning Maya during her anniversary ritual. The gardener intervenes not from compassion, but from a collector's instinct to preserve his specimens. Desmond's discovery of the garden reveals moral complexity. He initially accepts his father's fiction about running a sanctuary for troubled women, demonstrating both desperate need to believe in his father's goodness and willful blindness. The turning point comes when Desmond witnesses his father's embalming process, presented as a teaching moment. Maya's condemnation of his inaction highlights Desmond's moral paralysis, positioning him between victim and enabler. The garden's peace shatters when Avery confronts Desmond and the gardener. "You gave him everything," he screams at his father. "I'm your son too, your firstborn." He fires twice, hitting both men. Catastrophe follows when Servat enters a room with formaldehyde, causing a massive explosion. Flames consume the garden as Avery returns and kills Pia before Bliss shoots him. The survivors escape through a gap where firefighters break through with axes. At the hospital, Maya sees Sophia, the apartment mother she had mentioned, reuniting with her daughters. This reveals Maya's final secret. Sophia Madsen, listed as Laura in the gardener's scrapbook, had escaped years ago after learning the security code from Avery. Though pregnant with the gardener's child, she couldn't convince others to flee. Maya had been protecting Sophia and her daughter from being connected to the garden. When pressed for her real name, she finally answers, "Samira. The name on my birth certificate was Samira Grantaire." When Sophia embraces Samira and says, "You're one of my girls too," Samira breaks down in tears for the first time, finally acknowledging her trauma instead of hiding behind her protective shell. The butterfly tattoos, like psychological scars, cannot be completely erased. Some survivors keep them as badges of survival, while others undergo painful removal procedures, each choice representing a different recovery path. These women eventually learn to carry their experiences as just one part of their larger narrative. Some return to school, others become advocates, each reclaiming their identity beyond victimhood. Their survival becomes an act of defiance, and their connections, even those forged in darkness, light their path forward. The butterflies now soar on their own terms, their wings carrying them toward healing rather than bondage.